He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the morning after, the day after Jerome Powell's big speech. Didn't last long. It did what he wanted it to do, tank the market. Tank the bond market. Interest rates are bolting higher. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. You're listening to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds in parentheses, maybe highlighted, bold, show for this Thursday, September 22nd. And as expected yesterday, Powell announced a 75-point basis hike, but he also announced that the beatings will continue, right, until you submit. Well, that's where we're at. I've looked at a lot of stocks here this morning. It's not pretty. Right now, the Dow is down 117 points. It's holding on to 30,000, 30,058 right now. The Nasdaq's down 108, 11,112. Let's not forget it was up around 16,000. It was over 16,000 at one time. The Nasdaq down 1% today. S&P getting a boost. The oil stocks are having a very good day today. And between our oil stocks and our inverse funds, we're doing okay today. S&P down 13, 37.77. Russell 2K getting clobbered. The small cap's down 1.4% today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we've got Barry, our CFA, Barry Kite, who went into hiding yesterday. He was afraid of what Powell might say. He was in a cave all day. We could not contact him. He's back, and he's going to have a lot to say about our good old Chairman Powell, the Grinch that stole the summer rally, I suppose you could say. You know, it was kind of weird yesterday. The market went from optimism in the morning. I saw pretty good buying and a move in the tech stocks in the morning. And then it went to fearful right before the announcement. And then after the announcement, I don't know if you saw it, Barry, but the market went positive, then negative, then positive, then negative. My head kept going back and forth. I was getting dizzy. And it ended.
You got you some Dramamine, I saw.
Oh yeah, it ended down 522 points. Not pretty. That's when you're thankful that you put a bunch of inverse funds in place. We've got some double inverse funds on the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P 500 in place. So we did a lot better than the overall markets yesterday. The S&P was down 66 by the time people had kind of, you know, decided on what he said and what it meant for the future. The Nasdaq was down 205 yesterday. For me, here's one of the standout factoids. The two-year yield right now is at 4.13. Can you believe this? 4.13. It's up 14 basis points today. It did close yesterday above 4%. And the 10-year is also up, let's see, how many basis points? It's up 19 basis points? No. 15.
16. Yeah, right in that 15-16 range at 366, almost 367.
Wow. Well,
today,
you know, look, I do chart work. I do technical analysis on the bond market and yields. I do technical analysis, and I've been saying, you know, there's nowhere to go but higher. And if folks are still holding bond ETFs, it's not because we haven't warned them that a freight train started running them over many months ago, and it was only going to get worse. It's getting gruesome as the bond market continues to sell off. And the odds of a recession, I don't know how you calculate that. There must be some kind of statistic out there somewhere that's giving the odds of a recession. That's all I can say is the yield curve. Let's see, with the 10-year at 3.66 and the 2-year at 4.14, that's 49, 48 basis points.
Huge. It's a big difference between that 2-year and 10-year number, and we've been keeping an eye on that one for a while, and this is pretty close to the widest it's been, right in that almost half a percent range.
Yes. And I also track that every single week, that yield curve, and it's just been collapsing. I mean, I don't know if there's a correlation or not. The yield curve topped out on the day President Biden was inaugurated, and it's been going down ever since he was inaugurated back on January 20th of 2020, and it has collapsed. I mean, it has absolutely collapsed. I've never seen such a steep dive in that yield curve as I've witnessed over really the last year or so, or 6 months. It really started to accelerate. So as expected, Powell announced a 75 basis point hike yesterday, and most pundits are looking for 75 more in November, 75 more in December, and then slowing down to 25 next year, okay? So he did announce, you know, we're going to continue. The beatings will continue. And that is showing up in that that 2-year yield all the way up to 4. Is that a flight to safety, buying those 2-year treasuries? Is that how we interpret that, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting because you're getting you're getting a solid rate, right, on that 2-year on 2-year treasury, so you know, you would expect, right, that that demand for that particular note would go up, so then you know, there'd be buying in that 2-year space, and you know, buying the 2-year, right, would actually bring the yield down. Because the price of the bond's actually going up. So it's interesting that it continues to kind of widen out almost, you know, it's almost telling you that, you know, that no one wants any bonds.
Exactly.
Right?
I was going to say there's no demand even at 4.16, yeah. Right?
And it's only 2 years out. I mean, that's not a – I mean, you're talking about a low duration risk. Getting paid over 4 potentially, and you've got a, you know, you've got a good credit in the United States. If you know, if we've got credit problems there, then you got credit problems all over the bond space. So it's pretty interesting.
I mean, another logical conclusion would be, as investors are saying, well, yeah, I can get 4.16 2 years, but what's inflation going to do over the next 2 years? If it remains at 8, you know, if they don't get it under control, you're losing. That's a losing bet. You might be making 4, but you're losing 8 to inflation. I think it's also telling us that the market does not have a whole heck of a lot of confidence that monetary policy by itself is going to work. Well, I've been saying also recently in the newsletter that it just looks like a foregone thought that we're going to visit the old lows here pretty soon. If you want to know where those were, the Dow was at 29,888. We're almost there, okay? We're almost there. You know, we had that massive rally that, looking back now, was a classic bear market rally, but it broke the downtrend that we were in. It looked like the real deal. And then it all came collapsing down when we got a CPI report hotter than expected and the Fed's Jackson Hole speech. So, you know, you got to go back to mid-June here, 3 months ago, over 3 months ago, when we hit, we closed at a low of 29,888. So we're not far from that. I mean, we're just a couple hundred points away from retesting that low The question is, will it hold? And I would just say the velocity of which I'm seeing this drop, I question whether it will hold or not. That's why I'm very comfortable holding my inverse funds for now. I don't know that it's going to hold at 30,000 on the Dow. I think it may head lower unless we get some good news, and I don't know what that would be. Okay, the S&P 500 hit 3667. 3667. We're also headed fastly for that. We're now at 30. We're just 100 points away from testing that low back in January 15th. And the internals of the market, they look really awful from what I've looked at here so far today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Active, not passive. That's the watchword. I don't know how you could sit in an asset allocation and be passive, holding on to bond funds, bond mutual funds. The time to get away from those was quite some time ago. Now, testing those old lows, I didn't mention the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ's old low back in the middle of June, 11,116. We're about 500 points away from that. And it almost seems like it's going to happen that you're going to test those old lows in the market. Okay, here's the key takeaway from yesterday for me. Powell, during the questioning, he took questions and he said that the odds of a soft landing are diminishing. Okay, that's when the market started really plunging. And he also suggested that housing may have to go through a correction. Well, it's in one. I mean, housing is off 20% maybe, home prices from the high. With this spike in interest rates, you've got the 30-year well over 6% now when it was under 3 1 year ago. I mean, that's chilling. That's going to have a chilling effect on the housing market. So I certainly wouldn't buy anything right now. It seems to me like things are going to go quite a bit lower. It is also driving up demand for rental units. And that's where the big increase is, Barry. They're building apartments like crazy. And, you know, eventually you know how the supply-demand equation works. Eventually they build so many apartments that they can't, there's
build
more.
Too many.
There's
yeah,
more.
Like the condos at the, you know, kind of the, case in point is kind of the condos market in 08, 09. We always think about, we call it the housing crisis, but there's, you know, there was a lot of unfilled demand for condos or condo projects that essentially, you know, that basically stopped in mid construction during that period.
Yeah, I know our market here in this area, Mount Pleasant, Charleston, Somerville, Goose Creek, Greenville, it's tight, right? The rental market is very, very tight, and they are building. But certain areas where people are coming, the states where people are coming, we're one of the states that is growing pretty rapidly. It's very tight rental market right now. So if you're going to own any REITs, it would be the apartment REITs. But eventually, you know, the building of more apartments will catch up with them. Okay, now the other thing, yesterday we had Putin calling up 300,000 more troops. And saying, I'm not bluffing when it comes to the use of a nuclear weapon. That's not really good for the market either. I mean, that's a huge global worry. So you've got basically Powell saying the same thing. Nothing has changed since Jackson Hole. The only thing he really said new was the chance of a soft landing have really decreased, meaning a hard landing. What's he mean by hard? Describe a hard landing in the economy to us, Mr. CFA.
Yeah, well, what he's trying to do is, I mean, essentially is engineer, a recession. It'd be not, engineering a mild recession or, or one that's very close to a recession would be kind of the soft landing scenario, and then the hard landing scenario being, abruptly, right, go into a recession, quickly. You see a large number of layoffs in a short period of time. I do think he is shooting straight with us now versus – versus the old transitory language that we heard, for so long, the talk of engineering a soft landing for a period of time. I think, essentially in one of his statements, which is probably to me was one of the most, it just tells you what his job is and what they have to, are going to have to do is, he made the comment, we have to get inflation behind us. I wish there was a painless way to do that. There isn't. And
right.
So, and that's, whether it's pain in asset markets that we're seeing, say, in the stock market, whether it's in the bond market, whether it's in, in housing, those are the areas in which, their rate changes affects markets, and then that flows into the rest of the economy.
Yeah, go back to all of those statements by Janet Yellen and of course President Biden too. He said there's zero inflation. Zero. That's what he said. He was just comparing one month versus the previous month, which he shouldn't be doing that. And then of course in the 60 Minutes interview on Sunday, he said this is the fastest growing economy in our history, and I thought, what is he looking at? We've had two negative quarters in a row, meaning we're in a textbook recession. I don't see how you can't continue to have negative quarters. I really don't. I mean, with all these interest rate hikes and the housing market coming to a screeching halt, it'll be interesting.
Well, the leading indicators are interesting, coming out this morning, talking about new data, the LEI, leading indicators.
Which is very critical. The LEI is an accurate predictor. What's it saying?
Yes, surprising, came up minus 0.3% for the month. I guess 0% was expected, and and this is the sixth consecutive month of decline, which is another one of those signals of inflation, one of those kind of textbook versions textbook that we're in a recession. And then you got also this morning, I think you had the UK, they raised only 50 basis points this time, and they said they wouldn't be surprised if they're already in a recession. At the Bank of England. So
yeah. Okay, well, Goldman Sachs says another 10% downside. That's what Goldman Sachs is saying, which, if you're at 3,600, 10% is another. That takes us down into the 3,400 area. S&P could fall 10% more if recession comes to fruition, Goldman Sachs strategist predicts. The S&P, the S&P is now down over 20% year to date, 20%. And they're saying another 10% on top of that. The NASDAQ is down almost 30%. It's moving towards a 30% drop since the beginning of the year, and it's rising interest rates. The Bank of England boost rates by 50 basis points. I'm surprised they didn't go 75. Okay, someone else went 75 today. I can't remember who it was, but someone else. What? Another
Turkey dropped theirs.
Oh, good. moving to Ankara.
Turkey dropped theirs again.
Japan intervenes to boost yen for the first time in 20 years. I've been watching that ETF, Inverse the Yen. That thing has been exploding. The yen is falling apart. What is going on in the world? Commotion everywhere. We'll be right back to try to explain some of it and how you can manage in a market like this. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now, active, not passive show. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. So that means I don't care where you're at. You could use us as your money manager. You can have a virtual appointment with us. You'll get our newsletter every weekend. You'll hear me on the radio every day. You'll get trading alerts if you want them. When I buy, I've already sold two more here this morning. You know what? I just think active versus passive. I knew this whole passive move that the investment world made was not good. Especially, it's okay if you're 30 or 40, but if you're 70, if you're retired, if you're nearing retirement, it's not a good deal because you don't have the time to come back from. The NASDAQ is down almost 30%. Okay, the last time we saw anything close to this, well, it's in 2008, the S&P went down 53%. And in the year 2000, the NASDAQ went down 79%. It's down 30 so far. One stock I wanted to get to yesterday, let's see. Well, yeah, here's one of the, let me see if this biotech is, this was the biotech of the day earlier this morning. We'll see if it's holding up so far. But I want to get to a new LNG player. Yeah, here's the stock of the day, Spiro Therapeutics, S-P-R-O. Now, I don't play stocks like this. It's up on 95 million shares of traded hands. It's up 170%. What's the news? S-P-R-O. Glaxo is acquiring a stake in this company as part of a licensing deal for the Cambridge, Massachusetts-based company, Oral Antibiotic, to potentially treat complicated urinary tract infections, CUTI. So there you go. There's your stock of the day. I should have talked about it yesterday, huh? It's up 167%. The one I meant to talk about yesterday, and we just were too busy with everything going on, you have a new player in liquid natural gas, and it had a big day yesterday. SLNG, Sling SLNG, which is Stabilis Solutions. It has received authorization from the U.S. Department of Energy to export domestically produced liquefied natural gas to all free trade and non-free trade companies, including Asian, European, and Latin American importing nations. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of companies are being, they can't. They're not allowed to export. But Stabilis has received, under the Department of Energy's order, Stabilis received authority to export on its own behalf or as an agent for others up to the equivalent. Well, they're putting a cap on it. The authorization is for a term of 28 years. And you, as you know, LNG is kind of at the center of this whole energy crisis. So you've got a new shooter, SLNG, which was up big yesterday. It's down 7% today. It's trading huge volume. That's one to keep your eye on. Then I saw another one, one that we've been tracking. One of those down in the Sabine Pass next to LNG that was trying to get something going down there, and I saw yesterday that they got aced out of the bond market, and the stock just collapsed.
Yeah, was that Tellurian? I think it's Tellurian, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Tellurian. T E L L. Now, why would they ace them out? I mean, this is one of the hottest issues. We need LNG. It seems like the financial market spurned them, is what it looks like.
Yeah, it was. You know, they're trying to put down, you know, put together a debt deal to, I think to do some expansion or something of that nature. You know, to expand their capacity, and somehow the debt deal fell through. It doesn't mean they won't get, you know, get some financing in place. At some point, they may have to go to an equity partner, and going to an equity partner, of course, is going to creates more stock. That's going to, you know, usually push the price of the stock down. But it looks like they've got to go to some different route, at least. I think it was a pretty sizable debt deal.
Yeah.
So we'll see where they end up.
Well, I'm just saying that's another big part of the ESG is, you know, making it difficult for industries that you don't like, fossil fuel industries, obviously one of them, to get financing and banking and whatnot. Here's a question I got. Why are we buying still Russian aluminum? Russian aluminum imports are hurting the U.S. market, says Rio Tinto, CEO. He said the unfettered flow of Russian aluminum into the U.S. is making North American producers less competitive. Russian imports, which remain exempt from sanctions. Why? Continue. I guess, is aluminum that much of a necessary product here in the U.S.? I don't know. They continue to flow unrestricted into the U.S., even as allies such as Australia face restrictions left over from the Trump administration. So we've got restrictions on other countries.
We've got restrictions on Australian aluminum, but not on Russian aluminum.
And it's just crushing the price of aluminum. Okay, so our aluminum companies are having a hard time. Here's Jeffrey Gundlach. He's always out with his predictions. He said the Fed rate hikes are driving the economy towards recession. Well, I think that's pretty much the popular opinion these days. He says that the Federal Reserve has grown too aggressive in its campaign. Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends. They must see inflation not good. You know, they got to really, I mean, that's almost like they're desperate. To get inflation under control. He says that they risk tipping the economy into a downturn, which I think we're already in one of those. The impact of these tightenings is going to accumulate into a recession, says Jeffrey Gundlach. The Fed should have done more earlier when times were good. Yeah, that's probably right. But now, you know, the key rate's going to reach somewhere between 4.5 to 5%. In 2023, we were at zero a year ago. Let's see. What else do we have here? Intel, Advanced AMD, Rise. That was yesterday. I can't see being invested in any tech hardly at all right now. And AMD has been, that's just a horrible chart. Horrible chart on AMD. We sold our AMD. We had to. I mean, when you've got a chart that's in a free fall like that, I don't care about valuation. I don't care about fundamentals. Fundamentals go out the window when you get into a situation like we're in right now. NVIDIA, which we sold quite some time ago, that's a horrible chart. Horrible chart. Hitting 127 today. Intel's been a horrible chart for a long time. Oh, God, look at that chart. That is just nasty. Ugly, 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 ugly. The tech stocks continue to get clobbered. And, of course, when the tech stocks go, the semiconductors and the software stocks are always the most vulnerable. DRAM prices are plunging. I don't even want to look at Micron's chart. I haven't had breakfast yet. Micron, oh, God, that's horrible. Micron Technology is just getting crushed. And I think that's because of the PC market, right? Okay, and the laptops and everything. That market has slowed down considerably. I think it was good in 2020 when everybody was stocking up and moving their office to home. And now that big demand surge is over. Tesla recalls 1.1 million vehicles, faulty window reversal system. Let's see how Tesla, as of yesterday, was still holding up pretty well. It's just hovering right around 300 right now. It's one of the strongest stocks in the market. Relative strength, 91.
Yeah, my question is, what is a window reversal system? I don't have a Tesla. Does that just mean putting the windows down?
If one of your kids, which mine have done this, have drops a Cheeto down into the well, the window well, and the windows, and the window sees or senses an obstruction, maybe a little a hatchimal. You know, the girls, a plastic hatchimal gets in there. Then it reverses and doesn't go up.
Huh. Okay, so that makes sense.
It's there a very important part of your, you don't want a hatchimal in your window well of your Tesla. Okay, we'll be right back with what's jumping today. I got a hunch it's inverse Hans.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Active, not passive. The Dow's made several attempts at a rally, but every one has failed. I really don't see anything on the long side of the equation right now in the markets. It just seems like almost everything is under pressure. And if you're saying, hey, is this a good time to step up to the plate and pick up some bargains? I don't think so. I think it's going to go back and test the old lows, and it's questionable whether or not they'll hold or not. It's better to be looking at inverse funds right now. I wouldn't go hog wild with them. And you got to, you have to do your own research. You know, not everybody, they're not right for everybody. In many cases, it's better just to be sitting in cash. But there are still a lot of vulnerable areas in the market right now. And one of the most vulnerable continues to be interest rates. And, you know, I mean, like I said, it was pretty much a high probability chance that interest rates were going to go up. They started going up a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, and then they really started to accelerate as the inflation numbers started to come in. And the inverse interest rate ETFs have probably been one of the best places to be. Now, we don't own them in our stock portfolios. Maybe we should have bought a bunch in our stock portfolios because it is a hedge against the overall market. Stocks are definitely interest rate sensitive. A lot of them are. But we own it in our bond portfolio. But here's a few that are sizzling today. TTT, that is three times. It's a pro-shares fund. Three times the inverse of the U.S. 20-year plus Treasury bond index. And of course, the further out you go in duration, longer the duration, the more that these bond funds are getting hammered. TTT is up 7.8% today. 7.8%. You know, interest rates actually went down yesterday after his announcement. I'm not sure why, other than maybe a flight to safety. And then today they're just exploding to the upside. So TTT, which is three times inverse interest rates.
Yeah, it may have been that comment where he mentioned, you know, he expected some, he just says at some point, right, to get back to a normal level of interest rates in terms of, you know, 50 basis points at a time or 25 basis points at a time was the language instead of 75 points at a time. But it sounds like, and I think the odds are, at least at this point, that we'll get a 75-point hike at the next one.
I think it's almost a certainty that we'll get 75 basis points at the next one. There's another one. I think I don't understand why there's two. This one also is three times the inverse of the. It's just a different index, I guess. This one's three times inverse the New York Stock Exchange 20-year plus Treasury Index. So this is Treasuries. It's up 8 point. This is, I own a little bit of this in my own personal account because I figured I didn't want to go three times, you know, and I went two times in our bond funds, but TMV is up 8.3% today. And, you know, if you look at relative strength, 99 on a scale of 1 to 99. This is as good as it gets, are the inverse interest rate ETFs. The other one that's flying today, I just talked about how bad the charts on AMD, Micron, and NVIDIA are. Well, imagine how good the charts are on the inverse semiconductor. SOX is the one that is used quite a bit by traders, S-O-X-S. It's the semiconductor bear three times. And this is the other provider of inverse funds, which is Direction, D-R-I-X-I-O-N. I mean, you can go to directioninvestments.com and maybe I should get them to be a sponsor of the show, Barry. We do use their products.
Right.
I've been touting them and talking about or teaching. I think the best thing, I just try to make you aware of the fact, did you know that these are out there? These inverse funds? 1-to-1, 2-to-1, 3-to-1. That's as far as the SEC allows them to go. 3X, the semiconductors. It hasn't been a good investment over the last 15 years. I mean, this thing on a split adjusted basis was 523,000 a share, and now it's 60. Okay, that was back in 2015. The semiconductors obviously have been one of the best performing sectors in the entire market. But, you know, there's a time. This thing got as low as 31 last year, and now it's 60. So it's a double since last year. But it's volatile. You get into that 3-to-1 stuff. Here's another 3-to-1. We'll end with this one. The small caps are just getting crushed right now. TZA. And, of course, there's a 2-to-1 version of this, which is TWM. And there's a 1-to-1 version of the small caps, RWM. So I would just say the further you go out on the risk scale, interest rates right now are very risky. Small caps are very risky. Semiconductors, software, tech stocks, biotechs, those are the inverse funds that are really going the opposite direction right now in those most vulnerable areas of the market. Okay, well, we're out of time. I've got a newsletter to begin. You know, if nothing else, the app, beststocksnowapp.com, beststocksnowapp.com. I believe that the three indexes are free to look at. DIA is the Dow, QQQ is what I use for the NASDAQ, and SPY is what I use for the S&P 500. They have buy-sell ratings on them every single day. And, you can look up the indexes and see what the app says about those three indexes. Give us a call. Set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.